Mics are live.
Good afternoon. It is 12:02 p.m. on June 27th, 2018. This is an informal hearing on six cases, and I will read through them for the record. Case number PU-12-813 is NSP's 2013 electric rate increase. PU-13-194 is NSP's advanced determination of prudence on natural gas generators. PU-13-706 is ADP on Courtney Wind. PU-13-707 is ADP on Odell Wind. PU-13-708 is ADP on Pleasant Valley. And PU-13-195 as the public convenience and necessity for Red River Valley Natural Gas Units 1 and 2 at Hankinson, North Dakota. I'll go around the table and let everybody introduce themselves for the attendance record, but I will first say before we get started, I want to emphasize it's an informal hearing. It involves only undisputed facts. If there are disputed facts, we will wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. And in this informal hearing process, the applicant will go first. I'm joined by Commissioner Brian Kosius and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Did either of you have opening comments?
I don't know if I should do the opening comments now or when I kick things off.
The kickoff is kind of the applicant going first, but you can... We can do that. Commissioner, did you have any?
I don't have any, sir.
Okay. Let's go around the table and get your names on the record, please.
Akash Chandran on behalf of Xcel Energy.
Zev Simser on behalf of Xcel Energy.
Ryan Long for Xcel Energy.
Jerry Lynn with Commission Staff.
Patrick Fahn, Commission Staff.
Victor Shook with Advocacy Staff.
John Zhu with Advocacy Staff.
Mr. Crashes.
Yeah, what I want to do real quickly and then turn it over to the company, but just to frame this up in terms of where we've been, where we're at today, and there was a motion and intent to close the hearing. And at that point in time, my thought process was, does the company see a path forward on this? I wasn't entirely sure whether there was or wasn't based on the previous discussion or how the company felt. So rather than having proceeded without knowing, that was put out there. So with that said, obviously, you've requested an informal and you do see a potential path forward and you know, the May 8th document outlines your objectives and your thoughts and maybe some of the language discrepancies that you mentioned and some of the points. So I guess from my standpoint, what I'll be interested in hearing the most is how this is of benefit to North Dakota ratepayers, or at least does not incur any additional cost in terms of going to a different framework, that doesn't negatively impact North Dakota ratepayers. So that's as simple as I can probably put it from my perspective, and you know that there's a clear advantage, and then you actually have tools that you don't already have access to through different means, but still avenues that are available at this time. So with that, I don't know which.
I just one more thing. I missed two cases that are part of this, so to get those into the record. Also, PU-13-742, which is NSP's ADP request for border winds, and PU-13-743, which is the public convenience and necessity for border winds in Rowlett County. Sorry about that.
Well, I think it's good afternoon at this point. We're a little bit past noon. Commissioner Karasius, I'm going to try to jump in and address your question. But first, before I do that, I just want to thank the commission for granting this opportunity and to come back and talk about this. We had asked for another get-together to revisit this, and it's clearly important for us that we find a path forward on this particular, on really how we're going to deal with resources and resource acquisition on a going forward basis. And so I think that's why you're seeing a bit of us not really letting this bone go, so to speak. And so we tried, I think, pretty hard in this next round of comments that you're referring to really narrow the scope and simplify what we're asking for. And, you know, really let go of this concept of really an independent, separate operating company to serve the state of North Dakota, which I think was creating a lot of consternation. And I think that in particular, that concept of having a separate corporate entity that would serve North Dakota is one in which there is a lot of concern around, is that really in the best interest of North Dakota customers? Because there's a prospect around that of perhaps having greater market risk and exposing customers to that. And that could ultimately not be in the benefit of North Dakota customers or ratepayers down the road. And so what we've done here is we've narrowed the scope and really focused on things that we think the record supports, which is coming up with a resource planning process for the state of North Dakota that allows this commission and staff and others to talk about what resources are going to serve the state. I think that allows for an opportunity to create alignment with our resource decisions and the policy objectives of the state of North Dakota, which are really focused around least cost planning, and that is in the benefit of North Dakota customers. And to the extent that there is a decision made by this commission that does not support a resource acquisition that the company wants to pursue, it affords the company the opportunity to plan accordingly and make some financial decisions and business decisions that reflect that. And first and foremost in that situation, then North Dakota customers are immunized or shielded from those decisions. So to your question, why is this good or bad or indifferent for North Dakota customers, I think first and foremost, there's a discussion on the front end of what is the company doing, why are we doing it, and is it consistent with North Dakota policy or not? And to the extent that the company wants to pursue those decisions regardless of that, North Dakota customers are not going to be put in a situation where they have to bear those costs. So I think that's a real positive. I think secondly, there's what I would refer to as how do you implement all of this? And that was affectionately referred to as pseudo-separation, which is, based upon our meeting in February, we learned a lot of lessons that wasn't very helpful to call it that, because it gives the impression that, again, you're talking about a separate corporate entity, and that could be furthest from the truth. It's just really a way of how do you implement some of the changes that are needed to reflect the fact that some costs and some revenues are no longer going to be allocated to the state of North Dakota. So really, how do you take a decision that's made that says I do or do not want to participate in this particular resource, and then effectuate that onto our books and onto customers' bills? So I do think that we tried pretty hard to make that more simple in our more recent set of comments. All in all, I'll just be really honest. I mean, you know, we could continue the same process that we're on, which is we go file a resource plan in Minnesota because that's the only state that has a set of statutes and criteria about filing forward-looking resource plans with the decision that's made out of that. We can go procure resources. We can come to this commission, as we do today, with an advanced determination of prudence. We can get an indication of whether our actions are prudent or not and make a decision based upon that, like we do, as we have been. And if you decide that they're not, we can continue to fight and argue about that, and to the extent that we continue to proceed with a resource decision that this commission ultimately disagrees with, there's an argument to be made that's in the best interest of North Dakota customers. I think where a lot of this filing came from is there a way to balance what's in the best interest of our customers and also give us information on the front end so that we are aware of the consequences associated with our decisions. So that if we want to make a different decision, we can do that on the front end before we incur a potential liability. And that's really what this is about, is an equitable balance without giving us much more other than information of, you know, giving us more information into our that can facilitate better business decision making. And I view this as a relationship where you have an important say in terms of standing up for customers, making sure that the legal obligations of the state are effectuated and the policy obligations are. And having a front-end dialogue with our commissions about that is helpful for us. And so I think that the benefit of this proposal is you continue to preserve the best interests of customers, and you also give us an opportunity to appreciate the consequences of our decisions. And if we then choose to veer away from the feedback that you give us, it's up to us then to bear that financial consequence. If we choose to be aligned with that, we're in lockstep with the policy objectives and legal obligations of the state at that point. So I view this as keeping customers in the same situation, in the same standing that they are today. And the upside that we're getting is a more open dialogue, a more forward-looking dialogue, and more information, which really is, in a lot of ways, I don't think is that big of an ask, but it is a big ask because it takes time and it takes working together and appreciating that we all have finite resources. So,
what advantage, or maybe a better way of putting it, what's the deficiency now when you can come in for an ADP on a potential resource? It almost sounds like, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but my interpretation was that you're planning first, you're moving forward, the train has already left the station, then you're coming in for an ADP to North Dakota, the North Dakota Commission. Why couldn't you do that earlier in the process? And then no. Instead of being, and again, not to put words in your mouth, but basically to then have a resource you can't get recovery for. Yeah. Or not knowing if you will or won't, and then maybe being surprised.
I'm going to do my best to answer that question. My understanding is, at least the way it works today, is that I have to have a signed contract or a particular resource that I'm committed to doing and bring that forward as part of an ADP. And part of that is we have to have costs in mind, we have to have an in-service date in mind, we have to have some tangible things that are concrete. If I bring forward an ADP right now that says I'm thinking about possibly building a gas plant in 2023, but I'm not sure, I'm not necessarily sure I'd have enough information in that filing that one would know what to do with that. And so oftentimes what does happen is we lay out really a high-level business plan or high-level conceptual plan in our resource plan. It says, as I look out into the next 5 to 15 years, I've got this load obligation, and I've got these resources, and my math equation tells me that I need 500 more megawatts of thing, of generating units to meet that that load obligation, and I need it out in 2023. And we'll get a dispute, or we'll have a dialogue around whether that math equation was conducted correctly or not. And at the end of the day, we'll get a decision that's rendered that says, you know what, yeah, we agree. It's 500 megawatts, and you should start the process now. We'll then go through the process. We'll procure a resource. And it's at that point where we have something tangible that we then go back to this commission. We come to this commission. We go to other commissions, and we say, this is what we got. Do you like it or not? And oftentimes at that point, we've entered into commercial negotiations. We've put money in, we've put money at, out the door, so to speak, to start that process. And I think getting feedback two steps before that is even more helpful than at a time where you may have a binding, not a binding, but a contract in hand where you're sitting there saying, okay, I've spent 6 months negotiating with a counterparty. And how do I want to deal with this if I have an adverse decision here but an affirmative decision someplace else? And so a lot of what this comes down to really is, can we get your input earlier in the process as opposed to one or two steps later into the process? So that's, to me, a bit of that, I mean, a lot of it is that. And I don't feel, my personal opinion, and you know, Zev can chime in if he thinks from a legal perspective I'm wrong, but my personal opinion is I don't think the ADP process was designed for understanding whether or not a resource is the right resource to serve a state. I feel like it's more oriented around cost recovery for a resource. A resource plan is a policy-based discussion. A ADP and a rate case and those types of proceedings are revenue recovery-type proceedings. They are really oriented around, is this a recoverable investment or not? Very different standards. And so for me, there's a step that's missing, which is from a policy basis, do you agree or disagree with the decisions, or do you agree or disagree with the plan, a business plan, an acquisition plan that we're thinking of as a as an organization? Here's our recommendation. Here's why we think it's good. Here's why we think that it's a positive thing. Here's why I think it's beneficial to customers. Here's how it meets the legal standards of a state. And it's oftentimes in other states, in Minnesota in particular, we have a dialogue around that. And there is a discussion about it. And I think that that opportunity exists here too. And getting more information around, you know, is this a good thing from a policy perspective is really helpful in informing whether or not we want to go forward with a decision or not. And then likewise, understanding the consequences of that decision. Those consequences to us are don't come until a later time. And I think that's, I'm just trying to create a little bit more alignment around when do you have information and do you know your consequence on the front end of that? And it doesn't really give us anything, and I'll say this over and over again, what you're giving us by saying yes to working through this proceeding is the opportunity to have more information sooner. So you're not telling us that you agree with us. You're not telling us that you think it's a good idea or a bad idea. You're giving us a clearer indication of, yeah, these are my concerns with this. These are the things I like with this. It's up to you now to go figure out how to make that work. And if you decide to go forth in a path that we disagree with, then you understand what the consequences of that are.
So you feel you have to make a capital investment first, or at least a percentage of that investment before you can come to the commission for an ADP?
I think it's really a little
that's
bit.
The only way you're going to assume financial risk is if you're entering into a contract and then coming board and saying, okay, we're looking for an ADP on this particular project.
I think that's about right. Historically, how the ADP statute has been used is we bring you a 300-megawatt gas plant that is designed to serve the entire NSP system. And if we get a rejection from the ADP, A, that's not this commission saying it's not prudent. It's just an indication that it's not prudent at this time. But what we recognize that as is essentially this is inconsistent with what the commission is thinking about at the time. But at the end of the day, we already have plans for a 300-megawatt gas plant. And that's fundamentally the problem, is the ADP process comes at a time when, well, if North Dakota is indicating that it doesn't believe it'll be prudent, non-binding, well, it's really difficult to turn that 300-megawatt gas plant into a 250-megawatt gas plant because the other states of the NSP system do believe that they want that plant. And so what we're trying to do is get enough information in the front end through a resource planning process, again, non-binding, to essentially say, you know, we agree that that what you have planned for the entire system is consistent with what we think makes sense, and bring us specific proposals through the ADP process later, or of your total and overall plan, we don't think that these particular portions make sense for us in North Dakota, which allows us to say, okay, well, do they make sense for other states? And therefore, instead of saying a 300-megawatt plant, we can go and procure a 250-megawatt plant. And then the two parts of what we're requesting here is to have that dialogue up front, and then to have the flexibility with rate making, so it's a 250-megawatt plant that goes into service. That's ultimately what we're trying to achieve.
Since you brought up the second part of that, I don't want to jump ahead and skip the resource planning piece because I feel that's really important. And it's something that I think serves a variety of purposes for us as a commission that we don't have right now. So I guess I'll make a couple comments on that and then ask you my question. But so other states are getting pretty active in policy level drivers that are forcing utilities and companies, et cetera, to invest in certain specific things. So there's policy drivers that other states in your system are exercising. There's the independent system operator, MISO, that also plays a role in the markets that affect the generation mix as well. And so that influences the mix of resources that are serving our customers. And North Dakota has a piece-by-piece-by-piece process for determining what we like, what we think our ratepayers should have. I think that we need a resource planning process that allows us to exercise our jurisdiction, really, to say we think our ratepayers need these resources, this resource mix, and advocate for that through you. So you know where we're coming from on that process, not on a piece-by-piece basis, but on a comprehensive long-term look. I think that's really important in today's environment. So even if this wasn't happening, I envision trying to find some way to initiate a more formal integrated resource planning process. Whether it's binding or non-binding, is Minnesota's binding or non-binding, is that a big... are most binding?
It creates a presumption of prudence, usually. That's okay. How most states who do resource planning do it.
So there's a lot to explore with that process and how it all works, and I'm hoping that advocacy staff has a lot of thoughts on that, too. But the directly assigning of the generation, the second piece that you talk about, I'm a little confused by what does that mean, and why do you need that if we're going through the integrated resource planning process and we have this discussion, we come to agreement on here's what the mix is? Why do you need some sort of special tools outlined that seem sort of vague right now to help implement that? I mean, can't that implementation be discussed in part of the integrated resource planning?
Absolutely. I mean, the plan can exist and sort of identify and discuss that. The issue we really have today is if we bring an ADP and a resources not found prudent, and then we go through a rate case and the recovery is disallowed, that's a financial outcome and a financial impact, which means the company can't recover the allocated North Dakota share from North Dakota ratepayers for appropriate reasons. That's the commission's jurisdiction, and that's how rate making works today. What really ends up happening in reality, however, is that that resource is still on the system, that resource is still serving all of the customers, because not only is there the cost of the resource to ratepayers, but there's an attendant revenue stream, and there's the electrons and the capacities as well.
But that's been the case for forever.
That's exactly right. And what
has it never happened until now that you've had these that weren't recoverable system-wide?
This is a newer phenomenon. I think that's correct. And it's also, you know, as we look towards the future, there's some concern that it will be a larger phenomenon. All we're really trying to do is to say, instead of doing rate making on a system-wide basis, you get all the system revenues together and then allocate them. We do them on a generating unit by generating unit basis, so that way when there is disagreement and we have a legal requirement or some other regulatory requirement in another state, we can manage that, we can allocate to that, and we don't ever have to bring that to you if that's not consistent with your resource planning.
Doesn't that work contrary to the integrated resource plan, though? It seems opposite, because you're trying to do this big, broad, comprehensive plan, and then you're allocating on a generation by generation, you know,
base. I think at first blush it can feel that way. I think that there's an assumption that we've made, which I'll just be very direct about it. We've assumed that as the system starts to turn over more and more and more, that there's a possibility that there will be disagreements amongst all the states. And if that in fact happens, that then this particular rate-making tool that we're talking about is going to accomplish what Zev is talking about. So let's throw out different ideas. It's like, say we come in 10 years from now and we say, hey, we want to do 1,000 megawatts of resource that North Dakota doesn't like, but we decide we're going to move forward with it, ends up on the system. What we're trying to make sure that happens then is that the benefits associated with that resource don't flow to those that are paying for it. There's a converse way to look at this, which is if every state stays in lockstep and agrees, and we agree with all our states and everybody's moving forward together, and the resource plans all line up and sync up from now until forever, this rate-making change that we're talking about has no impact. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a matter of which lens are you looking at the world through.
Could it also work, Akash, where the, say, whatever resource it is, say it's the biomass resources, sure, for example, come on the system, and rather than agreeing with it, this commission says, no, those don't meet our test. Then Minnesota knows, too, oh, we're paying for those by ourselves.
Correct. And so right now...
And they agree with that. Like, they know that going ahead, too, because that... I mean, we've just recently had one where we said no, and they said, well, too bad, they should be paying for it, even though on the solar stuff, it was specifically added to meet the Minnesota solar mandate. Now, that, to me, is a prime example of a case where the Minnesota Commission should be able to look at the policy driver, the cost, the need, and say, that's ours.
Correct. And you're kind of rubbing right into or going right into headlong, which is the other part of the equation, right? Which is that, yes, there's this element of we need to have forward-looking resource planning in North Dakota. We need to make some changes on how we allocate costs and revenue. But with that, once that comes into the mix, is a conversation that happens with the other states, Minnesota in particular. Let's just highlight that one, which is, look, we're going to have a process there, North Dakota. We're having a process here. We've now put together in our resource plans in both states that if North Dakota says, no, I'm not interested, but Minnesota is, and we as an organization and as a company say, yep, we'll go forward with this, that there's a responsibility that now shifts back to Minnesota and our customers there to pick up the costs associated with that. And we, as an organization and as a business, have to make a business judgment call and a regulatory call as to, do we want to proceed with that risk or not?
No.
And right now, that's a piece that you're kind of running right into the situation that we're facing, which is we are now doing that way after the fact. So if you are a regulator in another state and, you know, Minnesota, and North Dakota says, no thanks, I'm not going to pay for that, and your utility comes back to you and says, well, you should, what's the likelihood that you're going to say yes to that when really what's left is for shareholders to pick up that expense? Mm-hmm. And so really what I'm trying to solve, just to be very direct about it, is how do I honor and respect the policy differences of my states, of the states that we have the benefit of serving? How do I respect the different standards in each of those states? How do I respect the customers in all of those states? And at the same time, assure that if there's disagreements, that that our shareholders aren't the first target or the first stop in terms of solving that. And I'm not asking for anything in terms of a financial remedy. I'm just asking for information so that if I decide to run headlong into that, that I'm making that as a choice. So,
well, it seems like you're asking for some tools. Like this
correct.
Second piece is a tool that
I
still don't quite understand.
I think it's a tool that essentially says if you're going to participate in a resource that you get, we will size the resource, you will pay for the costs, and you'll get the benefit in incremental revenue that comes with it. If you don't want to participate, we will size the resource accordingly, you won't pay the costs, you won't get the benefit. It's I don't think any more
and
complicated than
we
that.
We need to spell that out. Formally, that can't be just part of the integrated resource plan.
I think we can do it as part of an integrated resource plan. I think we've looked at it as something we can do here because the record has been well developed, I should say.
Are you trying to use this piece, the second piece, to deal with the third piece, the disputed resources? Or are you looking at this second piece as moving forward?
Forward-looking.
So it is just part of the integrated resource, future integrated resource planning process, how the company will bring its resource mix forward and how the discussion will occur with the regulators and how that gets shared then with the ratepayers.
Yeah, to be really, really direct, I mean, my goal or my hope was that we would be able to have an understanding of this proceeding, be it we have a North Dakota resource planning process, we have our rate-making tools understood at a high level, so that as we turn the corner and look ahead to February of 2019, that as we bring forward a resource plan, that there is a discussion and a dialogue in that resource plan of, okay, here is how we're going to start planning for our system, in the sense that there's an integrated resource planning process in North Dakota, there's an integrated resource planning process in Minnesota, South Dakota by law isn't allowed to have one, Wisconsin has a separate approach, and here is how we're going to deal with differences of opinions should they arise. And to get that all out on the table so that we're all appreciative of the consequences and the benefits associated with the decisions that we want to make.
Something you've said multiple times, making these decisions way after the fact, and I'm not following that because you come in with your ADPs before you actually do the construction, not way after the fact. And so what I'm understanding is that you don't even want to do that level of planning that you currently do for an ADP before finding out. And that concerns me, because for decades there wasn't even ADPs. The company had to make management decisions and take responsible approaches for fear that something might not get approved. And so things went well for decades. Then the ADP came. Now it's now become even too much of a management responsibility to get as far as the information you need to request an ADP before you get close to prudence assurance from the regulatory bodies?
I'm going to disagree with whether it's too much of a burden from a management perspective or not. I mean, I think that we are, and this goes back to what I was talking to Commissioner Fedorchuk about, I think it depends upon the lens that you wear in terms of will we be able to add and subtract resources from the system in harmony with all of our states. And I'll be very honest with you, I find that to be a very difficult task because our states are going in very different directions. And some of the decisions that are going to be coming forward in the next 15 years are not easy ones. I mean, if you just take a look at our system and what's just going to retire by book life, there's some really big decisions out there that every state that I go to has a very different perspective on. And so I look at this as we have a very difficult job in terms of operating and managing our business. And to do our job better, we're asking for more information. I don't feel like that we're abdicating our management responsibilities or that we're not able to do them. I feel like this is more of a getting it out on the table that there's a lot of big decisions to come, and to be able to get some input in from all of our stakeholders is really helpful for that decision-making process.
So I'm wondering what's left of the decision for a small state like North Dakota as far as your overall mix. You do a plan and you have however much resource you think is going to be coming off in however many years you want to look ahead. And if it's not up to the company to just come up with a blend that you're confident will be acceptable to the various jurisdictions, then it seems like to me it's going to shift to a situation where a decision will be made for the big player in the room that they will find acceptable. And if the small state does not approve it in advance, they won't benefit from it. Your other generation goes away, and so the only alternative left for the small state is, I guess, purchasing off the market.
What
construction would occur just for the small jurisdiction? Seems almost unimaginable to me.
I actually think that some of the discussion that we've had on this record illustrates a way that construction would happen for North Dakota. So, I think that maybe I have a difference of opinion here. I mean, I look at it right now that if I put my North Dakota-oriented hat on, you're more of a little bit more of a situation where Minnesota is making some decisions, and we're coming to you and saying, here's a decision that was made in Minnesota. And I'll just make up an example of, say a battery mandate gets passed into law in Minnesota, and we are obligated to go procure 200 batteries, and currently battery prices are very expensive. And we come to you with an ADP that says, oh, by the way, I've procured 200 batteries like I had to in Minnesota. And very frustrated that here you guys sit with a mandated resource. Well, the proposal that we have on the table is one that says on the front end, hey, we have this. Do you see any value or any benefit associated with participating in this? If not, great. We will then have that information in our tool belt, And we'll go talk to our Minnesota folks about all of that.
Seems a lot like an ADP.
But again, I go back to it's actually a lot different than an ADP in that the ADP process is happening at a time and place that's much later. I sit there and I go, wearing my North Dakota oriented hat, I would want a say in a dialogue and a discussion around, okay, you have a preferred plan, you've put time and effort into your business, thinking about how to plan your business. Let me understand why this is a good thing or a bad thing. So
isn't the fact that there's the possibility, if the mandate, the kind of mandate you were referring to, there's the possibility that that can go so far that a smaller jurisdiction like North Dakota just says no, and then the large jurisdiction that issued the mandate ends up paying for the 5% or what, 5.5%, whatever it is that North Dakota benefits. Isn't that what protects the company from any state issuing really far out mandates?
I guess I'm a bit of a pessimist, I guess, on this one, which is not like me. I'm usually pretty much an optimist. My personal opinion is that if there isn't a upfront dialogue around what are we doing and how are we doing it that is transparent across borders through us, that invariably you will have actors that will say, well, it wasn't approved up there, why should we pay for it? And quite frankly, I think that that's going to happen over and over again. That's what I think. And so I might be overly pessimistic, but I just view it as if everybody can choose to get what they want at a discount, they're gonna. And so I feel like one of the equitable outcomes of what we're proposing is that we have the opportunity to say, you know what, we don't want to do it. We don't want to keep taking these risks. We're done. We're out. Like, we're not going to pursue this resource unless you state, Minnesota, say that you're going to pay for this up front.
The way I'm understanding the battery example would be the Minnesota legislature requires the battery purchase in your next resource planning process because you have one there, and that's where they direct things through. You'd bring it through there. We'd have ours. We'd look at the batteries along with everything else. We'd have a comprehensive discussion about demand, projections, cost, the resource mix. We'd have all of that discussion. We'd say we think if this is too dependent on variable resources or we don't like the cost of this, we can do something cheaper. We want you to push in this direction. You know where we're coming from on all that from a comprehensive basis. And so does Minnesota. And you have that record then to say, when you go back to them, this isn't going to be part of a mix that North Dakota is willing to pay for in their integrated resource plan. And so, you know, maybe South Dakota will, but you're going to be shouldering the cost of the batteries. But it's not on a piece-by-piece basis. It isn't coming in with just the batteries. There's a comprehensive discussion of the whole mix.
Correct. And you can take that example and spin it in a lot of different ways because you could also say, I've got this mandate, I also have a need. You know, the L&R tables aren't matching up and North Dakota's growing and we have some load obligations and batteries could be one way to meet it. You could say, no, thank you. We'd like to see something else. And that's part of a comprehensive discussion that we can have then, as opposed to right now where it's a, you're seeing a snippet here, you're seeing a tidbit here, and a tidbit there. And so, I think that part of this is, it depends upon what lens you take. And I also think it depends upon, do you, as more and more commissions, and I'm going to talk more nationally, are going into places where they want more and more rigorous planning processes, and it's going beyond generation, it's going to distribution, it's going to transmission, it's going into all of these different elements. And that's happening in Minnesota. We're going to have comprehensive generation planning, transmission planning, distribution planning. That's going to happen. And that's going to set in motion a whole different sets of ways of identifying your load and identifying the resources that serve it. It's becoming more comprehensive. And they're going to weigh in and say, yep, I think that looks like this, and that looks like that, and that looks like that. So from my perspective, it becomes, how do I make sure that I'm having that conversation with all of the states I serve when I personally believe that there's going to be more areas of maybe disagreement than agreement?
So the, I mean, when I'm, and I appreciate the candid conversation because I think we move a lot faster that way. But to be candid from my end, I keep, you know, hearing this and, you know, as we've worked through this entire process, to me it just feels like Minnesota is the nucleus of this proposal, and that the other states are satellite states revolving, or your desire is that, and not being driven by you, I understand, but the renewable mandates, the disputed resources, cost recovery, and I think from what I've seen that the commission on this end has been fairly predictable, you know, in terms of a resource on whether or not it is or is not going to be accepted in terms of cost recovery and falling back on North Dakota ratepayers. So does this in effect then just become a workaround to try and have a greater assurance? But the one question I have, and hopefully we'll hear from staff on, is the ADP process, for example, truly deficient in your opinion?
I know staff has had a number of conversations regarding the ADP process. Regarding the concerns that they have, I'm not... For the purpose of their, I guess they're coming from the perspective of the company, and I think a lot of what this proposal puts forward is a lot of benefits to the company and from the forward-looking process. And I'm not sure if the ADP really provides that to them.
You're looking this way again.
All right. However, I do think that the ADP process in general is deficient for the purposes of what they're trying to achieve. I will say that, at least from, I think from our conversations we had that, and we do think it's an unwieldy process when you're actually trying to use it for a resource planning process.
I think, Commissioner, one of the big differences is trying to use that battery example again. Through the ADP process, we'd go and procure a 200 megawatt battery project, and so that's what the ADP would be. It would be the Belle Plaine battery of 200 megawatts or whatever it would be. And that's what we would come to you, much like we would in a rate case. Here's what it is. Here's what our costs are. Here's what the contract terms are. Commissioner, is this prudent, is what we're asking. And that's how the ADP process is set up to work. What we're asking for is sort of a more comprehensive look that asks the question beforehand. Not is this the right battery project, but is a battery project in and of itself appropriate and consistent with North Dakota resource planning? And the resource planning process allows you to look at that battery in the context of what does the system look like today? What are the retirements of the next few years? What is that ultimate mix? And if batteries should fit into that from North Dakota's point of view. And so the ADP process isn't efficient for what it's intended to do, which is to bring to the commission before we invoke a particular project of a particular size. But it is very deficient in trying to get to that idea of, does this conceptual project fit in with the overall resource mix? I think you're generally right. There is some consistency. We sort of have an idea of where the commission is at. But there are certainly times when I've worked with the company here in North Dakota for quite some time. You know, there are certainly times where we get it wrong. Well, we don't think the commission's going to like this, or we think it's important, or we don't. And so just having that dialogue is really important so that we can set it all up. And so that when we do bring forward a project through an ADP, or even after we've put it in place in a rate case, like used to happen before the ADP statute, that it's the size, it's the type, it's the timing that we believe can make a management decision that we think is appropriate, but we're always subject to your jurisdiction to figure out if it is or if it isn't. Right now, we're sort of handcuffed a little bit, and that's why the ADP process isn't efficient for what it's intended to do, but it doesn't achieve this broader look.
Do Wisconsin and South Dakota have an ADP or an IRP process more like North Dakota's, where you just file it, or more like Minnesota's, where they actually approve it?
My understanding is Wisconsin is more like North Dakota in that it's just informational. One thing I'll note about Wisconsin is you're pretty much in for a rate case every year in Wisconsin due to the way that their fuel clause mechanism works over there. South Dakota, my understanding is it's actually against the law to have a forward-looking resource planning decision made. So everything happens through a fuel clause inquiry after the fact. So just a different legal construct there. But I do think the Wisconsin piece, it's really important that the way that their rate making works, they're in almost every year, all utilities for rate reviews. So
really Minnesota is the exception of the four.
Minnesota is forward looking and with a decision that, as I've mentioned, has a presumption of prudence associated with it.
So since we're talking about other states, I'm familiar with Nevada from having worked there. And there, the IRP process has an appendix to it that's filed for commission approval that's called a five-year action plan. And so if you're going to do something within the next 5 years for a resource, it needs to be in that action plan and it needs to be approved. Or I'm sure it's caught, tossed out in the rate case. It's pretty much that simple. I'm thinking that kind of a process is exactly what we're talking about here. If we don't get commission approval, it seems to me it's pretty simple. Don't do it. I mean, period. The battery example, for instance, put it in a five-year action plan, and the whole action plan might get approved except for that battery. And then they have to bring it back and find something that is acceptable in the action plan. But then on the battery thing, you tell Minnesota, I'm sorry, North Dakota didn't accept that in their IRP action plan, so we can't do it. And it's pretty much that simple. So if something like that were to proceed, just an idea is that we had a notice in this case on closing these proceedings. So close them with an order that requires that the five-year action plan be amended onto the IRP, filed for commission approval. And then that's the process going forward.
On the one that they filed with Minnesota?
The February 2019 IRP that's coming up. They filed a different one with us because of the externality factors that Minnesota requires them to do and we can't allow. And so there's differences in the plans, but they'd have to come up basically with the same five-year action plans in order for that to work. Otherwise, I said, if they do it anyway, everybody's on notice that North Dakota is not paying for it because it wasn't approved.
Maybe just to piggyback a little bit, Jerry was saying, I know we filed some brief comments regarding this and we had just had a couple suggestions, and if when you read them, you probably realized that we didn't have a very strong opinion on this, because a lot of this is a matter of, from our perspective, regulatory styles and how you guys intend to go forward. Just like South Dakota, I don't think this forward-looking process is necessary. I mean, we can do prescriptive rate making. It's been done. If you get most of these issues, we'll get fought out on a rate case. However, if the commission does intend to want to take a more proactive approach and actually look at going forward at these resource additions and make some sort of decision on that, there certainly are mechanisms that we might be able to do that with. Some of these mechanisms that we're talking about with IRP, I do have some concerns. For example, this presumption of prudence. A lot of these states, and probably Minnesota, they have this presumption of prudence with the IRP. They have staff that will be modeling this and looking very closely at these things. And to have some sort of presumption when realistically it'll be Victor and I are currently creating some sort of legal presumption. I don't know if I'd be overly enthusiastic about that.
Give yourself some more credit.
However, something maybe, if there is a proactive approach that the commission would like to take on this, we would be agreeable to at least looking and trying to work something through. However, as we said in our filing, we really feel that this is the commission's prerogative, and we think it's a little odd that we actually have advocacy staff in this proceeding now as we've been going forward, because everything gets bifurcated, and this isn't a normal like rate case proceeding. It makes it actually much more difficult to actually work through this from that perspective, and it's difficult to really have an advocacy role when it's more of a regulatory perspective.
Is there on the filing of an IRP, is there a filing fee for processing?
One of the things we'd have to work through is how to make that work. I think both Jerry and Jack raise good reasons for sort of why we think that it makes sense to keep this docket open, because we'd have to work out all the logistics of how to make that work. But we would certainly expect to find a way to make all this a workable solution so that there's enough filing fees and resources so that the IRP can be meaningful, because if it's not meaningful, it's just more paper, yeah.
Mm. Anything else before we wrap up?
I think we need to let staff go first next time.
From Jack's, I do have a couple questions for staff or for advocacy. And staff, if you want to jump in. One of the reasons why I feel like it's time for us to take more of a role on the planning side is because of all the changes that are taking, because of the policies that are being driven through other jurisdictions. And we really are showing up late in the game with our tools to exercise our policy decisions and desires. Every time I'm at MISO and talking about concerns or raising concerns at all about resource mix, about the overdependence on resources that are not available all the time, the retirements, almost without a doubt and without fail, all of my fellow commissioners who I'd expect to have the same concerns say, we deal with that in our integrated resource planning. We're covered. We've already thought through that. It's like, oh. So they aren't pushing on MISO to say, make sure these resources are available, because they're making sure the resources are available through their integrated resourcing planning. We don't have that. So I think it's a little unrealistic for us to assume that an organization like MISO that is just taking what it gets after all this is being generated, after other states are doing their own resources planning and thinking about these subjects, that they're going to be in the position to be able to change it. So that's just, I mean, I know that's a little separate from here, but it's part of the issue, which is we got different opinions. We've got a lot of things that are happening that are some of it driven by technology, some of it driven by policy, and we're just taking what we get and responding after the fact. And I think we need to step up and take a more active role on the front end if we expect to have some influence on what resources are going to be out there.
And I think you're pretty much right about everything you just said, but we're also facing a 13% budget cut.
Well, which is why we got to, you know,
last time, and
the filing fees and some of these issues that we need to talk through. I mean, we're just talking conceptually now. The devil's in the details. We'd have to get a lot further down the path of what is it going to look like, and what tools would we have to be able to process that here, because we do have a really thin staff. Thin but powerful.
I guess just a couple other things I want to touch on is with regards to the I guess the company understanding where the commission is coming from. I think Commissioner Krosius, you spoke about that. In that current IRPs, they do have a North Dakota preferred plan, and generally that's not what has been followed, of course, with regards to the resource planning, because it's from the integrated from the broader integrated system. But I think there is probably I think you're probably right that they do have a pretty good idea of ultimately what the commission wants, and so I don't think that it, to some degree, they should be able to ultimately implement it as it is right now, to really take in what our wants are and our thought process into consideration. I'm not sure if I think necessarily solar or wind or batteries are a good example also of the resources that we have difficulty adding to the system or planning around, because a lot of those are incremental type resources, maybe a CT plant or a combined cycle that would be a better example. I'm just thinking, I would assume that you guys should be able to contract around that for the size of the North Dakota system. But also to what Julie is saying, if this is something that the commission wants to take a broader active role in the policy, we would just need some better direction from staff, for staff in order to go forward with that. To some degree, I think we're trying to figure out exactly what all three of you want to do going forward, and as long as we have something clear, we'd be happy to continue working on it or not working on it.
Well, I see your questions, you know, and I had more questions with yours than the company's, to be honest, because I don't know what clarity you're looking for. What do you mean when you say that?
Well, for example, this notice to close the hearing, this after the last proceeding, if you recall, at the very end, I staff at requested more specific jurisdiction, and quite honestly, from what all three of you said at the end of that proceeding to a notice to close, that wasn't what I expected. That wasn't what I anticipated to happen.
Me
so
either.
So walking out, the work that we would have done would not have been the work that was reflected from the commission's decision making. Or we've been walking down a completely different path than we would have thought we wanted to be going down ultimately. And so I think a general commission directive of some sort or something a little more formal or clear of what you want us to be looking at or going forward, or a policy purpose going forward, would be beneficial, at least for our work purposes, for clarity. But that's a helpful, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Yeah, that's helped. In the issues that the company lays out on its resource planning process, are those specific enough? I mean, issues like that, directive like that, like we think the process should include these things. And I'm not saying they've got it exactly right. I'm just saying there's an example of key pieces that they've identified that the process should include.
Are you talking about under Section 3, Commissioner?
Page 5A. Yeah, Section 3. Yep. The second paragraph should the commission, you know, where it lists out.
I think from the discussions that Victor and I have had, and I'll pass this over to him, but also chime in as well. I think number 1 and 2 of that's something that the commissioners want to go forward with. We'd be probably pretty agreeable with that. However, I think the disputed resources may be something that would be better suited ultimately for the next rate case.
Okay.
Ultimately, those are resources that have been hanging out there, and that's how we've at least proceeded in the past. And I don't know if staff's overly interested in hashing it out outside of a rate case mm-hmm. while we're looking at a forward-going process.
Good. That's good to know.
And I'll pass this along to the birthday boy.
I don't have a whole lot in addition to what Jack has already kind of said here, but I think we're actually even just getting there today. You know, I was kind of hoping for that direction of what is it you want us to chase down. I think the last informal we had, my message was, tell us what your problem is, and I'll figure out what I feel is the best way to solve it. And I think what I've heard a little bit of today is the problem is to have more influence on resource decisions. And if that's what you feel is your problem, we can kind of chase sooner. Down this. What's that?
Sooner. You know, not like through a piece-by-piece ADP process.
Sure.
That's my perspective. These guys.
Right. And that's a.
You can interpret theirs how you may.
And that's. Thank you for that distinction, because that's been our issue as well, is getting the consistent message from all three of you. Not that either one of you were inconsistent in and of
itself.
I'm
the only one talking. Does it mind come for all
three? We're all consistent in our own respect, but we're inconsistent with the others.
Exactly. So. One consistent commission message as to here's what we would like to be resolved if that's a you know, we want to have resource planning decisions, and then if so, we want to give, you know, provide the company these tools that they've requested to appropriately divide out resources for future decisions. You know, we can certainly find the best way to do that. You know, I appreciate that the company's kind of withdrawn the formal or full separation option, because I don't think that was a reasonable option for any of our ratepayers. But there's still other things on the table as well. So I would just ask that we kind of narrow that focus into here's what the issue is. And if I mean, like I said, just in the discussion, I kind of feel like we're leaning a little bit into this IRP planning process. You know, we can spend some time exploring that, but it would. Even with that idea that that's where you would like us to go, give us some guidelines within that. What is your objective from the IRP planning process? What do you hope to gain for our regulation and our ratepayers from that?
I think Alana must have something to add because she came to the table.
I don't know if it's exactly
on. Identify yourself, please.
Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco, counsel and a commission advisory staff. I was back there, but it really maybe is not directed necessarily at Victor, but when you were talking about the advocacy staff role and whether or not this is appropriate, we have to remember that the cases were all contested cases, and advocacy staff had certain positions in those cases, and rather than deciding them up or down necessarily, things were moved off into looking at a resource treatment framework, okay? And so I think advocacy staff still has to remember that those old disputed issues need to be resolved, doesn't matter to me. You don't have to settle them. But part of where you're starting from is where your position on those disputed issues. That has not changed. The cases are still open. The concept was that the settlements, and there was more than one, in this process would resolve them. But I think you have to remember to go back and say, what was I advocating in the public interest that got us here? And hopefully those things will be resolved in the end, either through a litigated proceeding or through a settlement, because they have to be resolved somehow. And those, I think, are slightly different. They could be all the same, but not necessarily all the same, as the other things we're talking about now, the going forward, a different type of a planning process. So I think, in my mind, advocacy's questions should be sort of in two different categories. Some are pretty obvious if you think back to how we got here, and then some are more policy direction, regulatory direction kind of thing that may not have been appropriate. I mean, if they were isolated, maybe they would never have advocacy staff. The question for advocacy staff is, do I have something to advocate in the public interest? So even for what kind of an IRP process will we use, does advocacy staff have an opinion about what would be in the public interest for an IRP process? Okay, one obvious thing is a fee that we could use to thoroughly investigate because we don't have staff. So I think if you keep that in mind, I don't mean to be just sort of teaching advocacy staff here, but I don't want you to forget that you had a position to advocate originally, and that's why we have all these cases, and we have to get those resolved one way or another in these now.
And I have a question for Alana on that. Did you, like, lead the lobbying effort to create the ADPs and the filing fee?
Yeah, right. That was me.
Or did the companies do that?
I am not. I did a lot of work on that, but I was not really privy to who was really the lead. I had Governor Hoven up here from time to time. I had a commissioner very much involved. So I don't know how to answer that, but I did a lot of work on it.
I don't recall that the commission really led that charge. Oh, we need to create a new process.
Oh, the commission did not.
What was the filing fee? As I recall, it was the companies that were down there coming to the legislators saying, we need this ADP process, and this is how it will be paid for. And so I wonder why, if we need an IRP process that is more substantive, but more costly, why aren't the companies down there doing the same thing again?
Commissioner, I mean, I mentioned that at the last meeting.
It seems
I
like
said,
this
would
whole
you commit
thing
to proposing
is being
that
flipped on us. They came with the proposal that I heard today. Even they recognize the full separation probably wasn't that great of a proposal. And now it's like, well, okay, so advocacy come up with something that the company will like, and we're supposed to sit here and help give that guidance. It seems to me it's the company's still responsibility to come up with a plan that will be acceptable. And in this case, it seems to me we need some legislation to create.
You definitely need legislation for a fee.
Funding.
For an IRP process. I mean, you would propose legislation for the fee for the IRP process. There's an attorney general's opinion that you didn't need an ADP statute, that you have enough discretion and authority to make those decisions without the statute. But the statute does give you the fee. So, you know, it's kind of a trade-off. I think the companies felt a higher comfort level by having it in a statute, and then they could put in some of the special provisions. And then you had the other lobbies of the various resources saying, well, if it's North Dakota, i.e. coal, then it gets the presumption. You know, there's a lot of piece parts to that when it was first written.
Another thought is, I'm not sure if the other companies would have any interest in enhancing the IRP process at this point. I don't know that they wouldn't, but I don't know that they would either.
I just want to follow briefly to Alana. It was more of a pining that we couldn't have this conversation. I understand the procedural mechanisms requires to be advocacy staff. But all of these issues, these disputed ones that have been tied to this case, were for more general filing fee issues, not because these issues haven't already been resolved to the most of the degree. And the disputed resources in this case, quite honestly, I still feel that those should be resolved in the next rate case. I mean, for example, of the five resources, maybe six of them, the biomass, quite possibly we're three-quarters of the way to having that resolved as of today in this commission meeting. So it's not that these aren't getting resolved that are the ones that are disputed on a forward-looking basis, too. It's just...
No, I know.
How many are left?
I know.
I was curious about that.
Yeah.
You know, I think that provides a way to maybe focus this more and get rid of some of those cases off the list.
Probably around 20 to 23. A lot of them are smaller wind or solar projects too, so it seems like there are more than there actually are, Commissioner.
Okay.
I have the list in front of me if that's helpful.
Yeah, I would take a copy of that or look at it and take a copy later.
This is on your application.
Another possibility is you don't have to have discussions only in private. You can have more discussions like this where staff and the company, perhaps advocacy staff and the company, perhaps have had some discussions or have resolved some things, but both can direct them straight to the commission, and your commission advisors can say things publicly that they can all hear, and the proceeding could proceed that way and continue to narrow issues and provide guidance.
Possibly the company could consider waiving the ex parte rules in this proceeding.
as long as staff also waives them, and then the companies are over in the commission offices.
Can I ask one question on this disputed resource, the Mankato Energy Center expansion? I thought we made sort of we said it's... Like, we left the door open for that one in a future rate case.
Yeah,
we so that one really isn't...
We declined to give them an IRP at that...
ADP.
I'm sorry, ADP.
Okay.
So we didn't say it wasn't prudent. But if I'm remembering right on that one, there was arguments that the process wasn't really needed, or that the resource wasn't really needed until halfway into the...
Right, yeah.
Contract.
Okay. Good. Pass that back to Jack. Thanks, Jack. So, where are we going forward? What's the plan?
I don't know the plan.
We need a plan. No, I want to get... You made a comment related to we're one of the few states or in terms of just looking at integrated resource plans. And I made a few notes on that. And you know, I haven't been around to many MISO meetings, to say the least. So I'd like more information on that. And then just strategically, you know, I realize we've got, you know, it's still the same thing in play, but giving the staff better direction. But I don't know that I can give better direction on that until I just do a little more digging on the prospect of having a five-year action plan like you had mentioned, Jerry, and Commissioner Fedorchuk, if I heard correctly, indicated that a lot of states are doing something like that, and that does give companies more direction, a better feel. But then we also have the resource issue, and how do we work that in? Because we're still looking at, even if the legislature agreed to a fee to help support, because we're not talking about just one, we're talking about multiple IOUs. Then when you add up the different entities. So then we're looking at 2019 and I guess I'm just thinking already on, okay, that's July 1st, 2019. Well, that's still over a year out, which isn't, as I've learned in commission time, all that long. So I know that doesn't give an absolute definitive direction in terms of where I want to go, but I want to look at, take a look and then just look, okay, what's a good long-range plan for North Dakota from a state perspective, and then that could potentially provide at least some degree of what you're looking for.
Okay, so what's the time? Like, how do we keep this moving forward? We're just spinning our wheels. We need a plan. So do we need to come up with, do we need to have a work session to talk through this stuff?
I think we have to have a work session. I would like one to.
Could we also ask staff or advocacy or the company to develop some, to flesh out the idea of the IRP? I mean, I almost hate to do that if the two of you aren't going to be on board with that type of process or you're not interested in exploring it. I guess it would be helpful to know if you're both interested enough in the IRP, the potential IRP process, to start having some additional work and research and development of that process done.
Well, I think I was pretty clear just now in terms of that's what I said. I want more information on, you know, to research the IRP process.
I have always longed for us to be able to have a more thorough IRP plan, but it really has to be thorough. I don't want to just say, well, we'll accept responsibility here and that makes it thorough. It has to actually be thorough before we start using it to make responsible decisions. And so just something where we just, oh, suddenly we'll approve this thing, and that creates a presumption of prudence in the future, and all it's been is two already overworked people read it over and no chance to really give it the kind of thorough analysis that the ultimate ADP would have gotten had we waited till that point, then I'm not in favor of it. So we've got to have the ability to do it thoroughly.
So I have a question. Would the work session, if we had a work session, would it be generic in the sense that we're just looking at the IRP process as a potential?
I think you can define your work session however you want.
Across, so we're not talking about any specific utility, or does it have to be tied to this?
Well, it would or is be it tied to this whether you said so or not, because yeah. The question of a company has asked you to develop an IRP process, okay, and so these cases would be at issue if you said, I'm going to start thinking about what kind of IRP process I'd like. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to necessarily include the other pieces of these cases. I mean, it could be just on the IRP process part of the case.
Do we have any dollars left in the fee for this project or for this case?
I believe we do. I couldn't say how much.
Is it possible for us to ask the company and advocacy to get some proposals to us so that I think we need more information to think about and to reflect on. And it would be helpful to have some thoughts, like Alana said, from a public interest standpoint, what should an IRP process include? What sorts of things should we be thinking about? And then, you know, you guys obviously have lots of resources at your fingertips to provide that type of information to us.
As far as the funding, certain of these cases have dollars left in them and others don't. And then we actually had an agreement with the company to use dollars in cases for the whole process.
So it's feasible that we could hire some outside help to help think through this.
We already have contractors on board for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
think time would be the one issue, and I know probably it would be the same as all of you commissioners with another rate case coming up. I think right after the week after the 4th and the holidays.
Right. Well, that's why I'm thinking get somebody outside working on it, and then we can set something down the road, not too far, but, you know, at some point to get back together and another informal, perhaps.
If you would be open to that, if that's what the commission would like.
I'm open to lots of things. I'm just trying to get something tangible on the table so that we all know what the next steps are going to be.
One other thing, if you remember, well, you don't remember because you weren't here, but
make a change.
We did IRP before in an order for MDU, and we ordered them to file an integrated resource plan and a rate case order and said what it needed to be, and that was the origination of our getting IRPs. So then after that, we just started getting NSPs because out of the goodness of their heart. No? We had an order?
In the 07-08 rate case, it was ordered.
Okay. Yeah. But before that, you were giving them to
That's
us.
That's right.
Out of the goodness of your heart. The point being, though, is that we've got some history with the IRP stuff in previous orders that we can look at, too.
Okay, what are we doing? Well, Lana, Pat, you guys are good at process.
Well, I guess what I'm hearing, is that there is still some work for staff as far as the issues about past resources. Okay, so there is still direction and some work for staff and hopefully some money if necessary. And I'm hearing that there's some IRP, at least research, if not proposal, and possibly a proposal. So for two of the three issues, I think there's some direction, and I hope advocacy staff feels like there is. And the third issue being rate recovery, for lack of a better term. There's a difference of opinion on. And I think, in my opinion, you can put that on hold for now. You don't have to deal with that till later.
Respectfully, Lana, I think we would not characterize as a rate recovery because that's not what we're asking for. I think what we would really characterize it as IRP implementation ability.
Yeah.
And I think that really does fall part and parcel in the IRP discussion.
Okay. The allocation of the resource and the allocation of the benefits and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, that might be open in my mind, but all I'm saying is for the next step, I'm not sure that we have to go to that argument or difference of opinion. Anybody differs with that, speak up, I guess.
Also, I guess that we've issued the notice of intent to close the cases, but I'm not sure that we would have to act on that at any time soon either.
Okay. I didn't see any paperwork or any slides or anything that I'm recalling, so I think the only thing that we have today new is oral testimony. Is that correct? Akash, you looked like you were...
I was having a hard time concentrating on what you were saying. I apologize.
Okay. But I think I think all that's been presented to us today is oral evidence. Are there any objections to the evidence that's been produced becoming part of the official record?
Not from our perspective.
Seeing none and hearing none, the evidence will become part of the record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record?
Just for clarity, so from staff, the commission is anticipating a filing regarding the implementation or the possibilities of implementing an IRP process, how it could be done in the public interest, and some safeguards with regards to it. Would that be a fair explanation of what you envision as commission?
That's kind of what I'm hearing from them, but they can come up with a different idea, too, that they might find suitable. I don't know what they're going to come up with, but the company.
Oh, okay. He's talking about them.
I thought I heard that the commission would like something from staff as well.
Oh.
Be provided.
If you do that, it is fine with me. I continue to think it's the company's responsibility to bring things seeking approval, not for them to bring something that doesn't get approved and then say, okay, well, we still have a problem. Now you come up with a solution for us. And then the company actually becomes the regulators in that, I suppose at that point, then they will want to have the ability to approve or disapprove of what you come up with. And so I think the responsibility is theirs to work with you to come up with something.
So would you envision the company making some proposals or showing some examples of IRP solutions, and we would respond to those?
That would work too.
I think so.
Okay. That's, we can absolutely work with that.
Thank you for that clarity.
And it's also totally fine with us to do that, and we'd be happy to work with staff ahead of making a filing so that what we bring forward can be as constructive as possible.
Okay. Anything else? This informal hearing is closed. Thank you.